Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
And welcome once again to Trail Daddy, your weekly, or realistically in the off-season, probably bi-monthly podcast about the Portland Trail Blazers and everything associated with them. I'm Dave Deckard, managing editor of Blazers Edge. And this week is going to be a little bit special because we are going to talk about one Damian Lillard. And why are we talking about Damian Lillard? Because there's a bit of a hubbub because Lillard and his Milwaukee Bucks have been eliminated from the 2024 NBA playoffs. And a first round loss is not what anybody expected when Dame was traded to Milwaukee. And the mailbag and a few comments on site are talking about that and asking questions. And so let's cover that and put Lillard in perspective a little bit, since he is still the marquee, or one of the marquee figures of the Trailblazers franchise, no matter where he is and will be for the rest of his lifetime. Let's talk about a few things. So first of all, yeah, the Bucks lost to the Pacers. Wow. And I have a couple mailbag questions. There's Jim, and there's, let's see, who is this? Paul? And I thought there was one other. Basically asking the question, is this a disappointment for Dame fans and whatever? And also, there are accompanying questions. Does this show that Dame isn't as good as we thought he was? Now, here's the thing, is that you got to remember, Dame played this series without Giannis Antetokounmpo, okay? Now, I want you to rewind back to the big trade. When Dame went to Milwaukee, what did people think? Well, Dame and Giannis, they have a chance to do something. They're going to be a playoff team for sure, duh. And maybe they have a chance to win a title. Would you have said the same thing if Dame had got traded there without Giannis? In other words, if he had just joined the Milwaukee roster as is, what would you have predicted? I don't know about you, but I would have said, hey, you know, he's going to do better than he did in Portland, probably slightly, because Milwaukee has some veterans and some, you know, championship experience. But certainly they're not going to go all the way, and it's just a matter of when that they drop out. That's pretty much what happened. And I think making this a referendum on Dame ignores the huge elephant in the closet. And I doubt that they'll be doing that in Milwaukee. I think it's a knee-jerk reaction. Now, did Dame have a great season there? Probably not. He only shot 42.4% from the field, which was like his third or fourth lowest percentage of his career. He shot 35.4% from the arc, which was fourth or fifth, I forget which, but it's not great. And that was not quite the performance that they expected from him. He scored 32.2 points per game his last season as a Trailblazer when he was 32 years old. 1 year in Milwaukee later, he scored 24.3. It was his lowest point total since 2014-15. You can ascribe some of that to fitting in with the new team, and especially fitting in with Giannis, but it's also just a little bit underwhelming in a year when a ton of people are scoring 20, and in a year where they had aspirations of not only a championship, but of Damian Lillard turning around their team. Now, there was a lot of disruption in Milwaukee. Obviously, the trade was part of it. They had coaching changes. The coach they started with is not fantastic. The coach they went to, most people think, is not fantastic. So that could have been part of it. Dame obviously went through some personal struggles to trade. He's going through a divorce. It's a new situation. That could have been part of it. His health was pretty good compared to seasons prior, but Giannis's wasn't necessarily much better. That was certainly part of it. All these reasons kind of stacked together to conspire against the kind of year that the Bucks and their fans expected from Dame. Now, is that a huge problem? Well, it depends on how you look at it. The Blazers, our fans, can take solace in, look, there's another team, actually one that was expecting to be pretty good this year, that was talking about health and making all kinds of excuses. Should sound familiar. That's the same thing the Blazers are doing when they win 21 games. It's the same thing the Phoenix Suns did when they were swept from the playoffs by the Minnesota Timberwolves, by the way. And the litany of reasons and explanations gets pretty long and pretty loud in a situation like this. Milwaukee had to employ them. That's not a good thing. It may not also be a good thing if Dame doesn't want to stay in Milwaukee. And here's the thing. That's part of this. Kevin Durant in Phoenix facing this too, perhaps. But the Bucks also with Lillard. If he feels snake bit or he just doesn't want to stay there, they traded away a lot for him. And when they move him, they're not going to get nearly as much back. So they're kind of forced to keep him. If he doesn't want to continue there, that's a tug of war that they definitely don't want to get embroiled in. So this could be bad for Milwaukee from that perspective. But overall, I think that this was a passable season from a good basketball player, a very good basketball player. I mean, he made his eighth All-Star team, and he was definitely one of the team leaders in the playoffs. Now, he did not shoot well in the playoffs, but he averaged 31.3 points per game, shooting almost 42% from the three-point arc. Those are very Dame-ish numbers. His assists were down, but again, who's he passing to? I think that he did all right in the postseason, and that will be a glimmer of hope. I think with another year of seasoning together with the rest of the team, that will be a glimmer of hope. The fact that his production fell is not great, but that it didn't fall all the way through to the basement, also a glimmer of hope. And I think those are enough glimmers of hope that Milwaukee will be okay with it as long as he wants to stay. It's going to get really ugly if he doesn't, and that will be something to watch with interest. Now, does this mean that Lillard was in some way a failure? I think in no way does this indicate that. He was very much, as we said, under stress and strain, very much in a time of transition, and lost the primary player he was supposed to team with, while at the same time spending much of the season with the responsibility to team with and maybe defer to that player and to figure out how to do that. That's a tall list. And I think Lillard negotiated it, if not successfully, at least passably well. And I'm guessing that he's about the same Dame that he always was. Acknowledging that this was a low season for him in, as far as efficiency, and pinning at least a little bit of that on those reasons we just mentioned, I don't think Dame has changed. I think Dame's situation has changed, and he had trouble adjusting, and the team having trouble adjusting to him is not a surprise either. And I think it was a shock to Milwaukee what losing Jrue Holiday would do to their defense. And that's the one thing, is that Lillard is not a substitute, as game as he is and as much as he wants to do and says the right things on that end. He's nowhere close, right, to Holiday, let alone, you know, what they need. So I think that part they're going to have trouble solving. But offensively and what have you, I mean, you ask for Dame Lillard, You got Dame Lillard. I don't think that's a failure on Milwaukee's part. I don't think that's necessarily a failure on Dame's part. I don't think Damian Lillard would have been better off in Portland. He probably would have had certainly better regular season stats. He would not have had better playoff stats because I don't think they would have made it, especially given the litany of injuries around him. I mean, put Dame with four rookies and he's going to score 30 and they're going to lose. So I don't think staying in Portland another year would have redeemed him, helped him, made him a better player. I don't think it would have improved his reputation. And by the way, I don't think his reputation is taking much more of a hit right now. I think Milwaukee losing in the first round dings him a little bit nationally. But again, anyone looking and seeing that Giannis was out has to put a huge asterisk by that. So I don't think he lost any prestige doing that. Is he going to be mentioned as one of the hottest players in the NBA this year? No. I mean, he's going to go in the same category of a lot of veterans who are kind of like, I don't want to say fading, but just ended up having a muted impact in this postseason. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George aren't going to be mentioned a ton, probably. Kevin Durant's going to be mentioned on the trade front, but if he hadn't been mentioned that way, it's not like people would be crowing about him in Phoenix. Dame is going to go in that bin of veteran superstars who all of a sudden went to the table and found their chips already depleted and weren't able to win the tournament. And, you know, that's not going to recommend him, but it's not going to douse the flame around him either. Would a lot of NBA teams still like Damian Lillard? Absolutely. I don't think this does a thing to him, actually, other than say that Damian Lillard is pretty much the Damian Lillard that we thought he was. A phenomenal offensive player, a very, very good NBA player overall, still the face of Portland's franchise, the most charismatic guy who ever put on Portland's uniform, the most social media adept, all those things that we said about him, but not in himself capable of carrying a team to a championship in Milwaukee any more than he was with the Trailblazers. And I think that's not only a fair assessment, it's the right assessment, and it's borne out by this season. He gets another chance next year, end of story. But I think that this also ties a bow a little bit. It's not, a lot of people seem to think this is a gloating moment. It's not. It's just a confirmation moment that it was okay to trade Dame, and it was okay to love Dame. And both of those can exist in the same circles. And I think that's where the Blazers and their fans lost touch. They lost touch with the reality of Damian Lillard in favor of the legend of Damian Lillard. That Dame became so big, and more than that, the situation so desperate, okay? You know, look, I hate to compare this to relationship tragedies or whatever, but, you know, there's one kind of relationship where you have your spouse and you have your job going well and you have your family life going well and you have your social life going well and everything's clicking and everything's in perspective and you love it all, including your spouse. There's another perspective in which all your social lives fall apart, your kids move out or move away, your business is going crappily and you're going to lose it, your health is not good, and then you just have your spouse and you start clinging really tight, and then when your spouse tells you they're going to leave, you've lost everything, right? That's where it felt like the Blazers and maybe their fans were with Lillard in his last few years. At least we've got Dame. There's always Dame. We've got to have Dame because there's a chance with Dame. And then when Dame left, it was like, well, the last thing that we hoped for shattered. Okay, fair enough. That's very human. But in the midst of that, we did a couple of things. Number one, build up the legend of Dame way bigger than it was. Dame was never a great defensive player. Dame was, as I said, a fabulous, fabulous basketball player that the Trailblazers and their fans should have been honored and privileged to have for those 11 seasons, 7 All-Stars, you know, all NBA teams. Absolutely. Jersey retired without a thought. In fact, bigger than most anybody else's should be hanging up there. They can retire all the zeros for all I care. It was a great, great time having Lillard on the team because he was a fabulous basketball player. But he was not more than that. He was not a superhuman human being. He was good. He was charismatic, but the Blazers have had a lot of people who were also like that. And I'm not trying to disparage him or them. That is fantastic to have that rapport with the community. But he was not unique in that way, nor untouchable in that way. He was not a franchise cornerstone in terms of providing wins or of transforming his team from goodness to excellence. He transformed them actually from despair into decency. And that's just fine. But it was not much more than that, and it's okay to say that. The Dame was not irreplaceable, or Dame, while being unique in terms of Portland's experience and among his generation, he and Steph Curry were the best shooters of that generation, which means among the best shooters the league has ever seen. But it's not like that was enough to qualify him as something that will never be seen again or will never see the likes of him again. There will be other superstars with the Trailblazers someday, and we'll love them too. The whole legend of Dame and the irreplaceability of Dame outpaced the reality of Dame. And the second thing that happened because of that was that people got very, very defensive. And this happened at all layers of the franchise. Fans did, obviously. You remember the hubbub. Dame will never be traded. He says he wants to stay in Portland forever. Blah, blah. And we would talk about that and talk about the pros and cons of that, and people would be very upset. How dare you even mention anything when Dame himself said he wanted to stay? You're going to drive him out of town or whatever. As if Blazer's Edge was going to drive a player making multi-million dollar decisions about his family and his career. Oh, gosh, that guy wrote something in 1,300 words that absolutely changed my perspective. And I'm going to put tens of million dollars on the line because of this blog column. If that's true, I want 10%. Because I would like to be that influential. And if I am, I would like to be rewarded commensurately. Anyway, the vitriol over that was bad. It started at a bad boil, and it got even worse as the last couple of years of Dame's career in Portland progressed. I mean, there were media members sniping. There were franchise employees sniping at anyone who dared to suggest that Damian Lillard was anything less than superhuman, superhero, and eternally in Portland. And you know what? He was there. He was fantastic. And he was a human being. And those were enough. And I think that's something that we can carry on. Because that lesson, I mean, Milwaukee's learning it right now. He's there, he's a fantastic player, and he's a human being. That's what they got. That's what Portland had too. And when you start to elevate players above that status, you start to enmesh them with the franchise so much that you lose perspective on what the franchise is there for, what the franchise needs, and the natural arc of a basketball career. Would I have been happy had Damian Lillard stayed in Portland his entire career? Absolutely, positively, I would have been just fine with that. Would have been fantastic. Wouldn't we all like to see Dame play 73 games and score? Well, he scored 24 in Milwaukee. Let's say he scored 28 here. Love it. And would have paid him as long as he wanted to stay and would have crowned him as the franchise, you know, number one best player at some point, unquestionably. Sure. Is it the end of everything that did not happen? It is not. Is it the beginning of everything that he went to the Milwaukee Bucks? It is not. And whichever team gets him next, if he moves again, will find the same thing. Got a fantastic basketball player, and that's enough. That's good enough. What more do you want from this guy than 11 seasons and all the points? The leading scorer in franchise history. I don't understand why you want to canonize every player who comes through the hallways and starts looking decent, you know, and I'm exaggerating a little there, but really we have a tendency to do that. And the disturbing part to me, as I said, was not just that fans do it because you expect it a little bit, but when the media member and the franchise started doing same, it's like we all lost touch with reality. And that's a spot at which we should just start making stuff up, whatever narrative we want. And that's easier to do than you think. I think that actually happened or was attempting to happen at the end of the Jailblazers era. That's part of the reason Blazers Edge came into existence, rather, because there was so much crap flying around that was absolutely out of touch with the reality of the team, really from both ends. I mean, there was negative crap from a lot of fans and casual people in Portland. But there was also a ton from the franchise, and at that point, the internet didn't have quite as big of a purchase, so the negative crap from the fans didn't spread as far, but the team and stuff sure did. And that's part of why we exist. It happened again in spades at the end of the Bob Whitsitt era, and then you can also have it happen in this way. I think it did with the legend of Damian Lillard a little bit. It's easy to spin narratives that lose touch with reality. And what you hope is, even if the fans do, and even if the media kind of follow, that at least somebody sitting in a seat in an executive office somewhere still has that touch with reality and isn't buying their own headlines, or, put less politely, isn't buying their own BS. And at some point, I started worrying about the Trailblazers greatly about whether that was true. And we still haven't seen, honestly, whether it is or not, because they still have to spin a 21-win team, and we still have to trust that they know what the heck they're doing, because we haven't seen a lot of evidence to the contrary at this point. So we're not, even in the post-Lillard era, we're not really headed upward yet. We're trying to get the plane out of a stall at this point and hoping that these tactics are working without really knowing how it's going to turn out. Now, that's too serious of a metaphor. I understand. Apologies for that. But you get the image there. And the one thing you want to know is, do the pilots have their hands on the control, and do they know how to fly this thing in an emergency situation? And some reassurance of that would be helpful. Where this ties in is, trading Dame is not an indication that they didn't know how to fly the plane. Dame not doing as well in Milwaukee as Milwaukee had hoped is not an indication that they do know how to fly the plane. The franchise's reputation and future is finally decoupled from Damian Lillard, where it is a point of interest and discussion. Obviously, we're going to go on for a half-hour podcast about this, and are almost done with it already. Probably haven't even covered every angle. But the franchise is decoupled from Lillard, and that in itself, I think, is a good thing, even if it would have been cool to have him playing here. Because Lillard's arc is not ascending rapidly, at least. And what the Trailblazers need to do right now is to ascend rapidly. And the only way to do that is, well, whether it's rapid or not, with young guys, with guys who are new, with guys who have a growth curve ahead of them instead of a record behind them and are ready to go on maybe one last light bulb flash and then a retirement tour. That's where Dame is. That's not where the Blazers is, Blazers are, rather. And that's a good reason to have him in Milwaukee. Now, the post-mortem on Milwaukee will be among the more fascinating ones during this summer. But I will say this, that passing judgment on them right now is slightly more indicative than passing judgment on Portland would be, but not much. You've got to give these guys another season together, perhaps The supporting cast needs tweaked a little bit. Chris Middleton was really good when Middleton was good. But Chris Middleton was not the Chris Middleton of old. And by the way, he was a huge contributor to their championship run. And, you know, losing him or having him not at full strength, and he only played 55 games this year, that really impacts them. Brook Lopez did not look like the defensive player of the year. And by the way, look here, synergy. Brook Lopez, it's not just an age. Brook Lopez looked a lot better, I thought, when he was with Jrue Holiday, didn't you? Okay, all of a sudden you put Damian Lillard out there, and I'm not saying it's Dame's fault. I'm saying you don't get the help on the outside, it makes it harder to give the help on the inside. That may be a thought bubble above your head when you start judging the Trailblazers with guys like Anfernee Simons in the backcourt. DeAndre Ayton is not a good defensive player, especially, I think, on some of the exterior pick and rolls. I mean, he showed flashes. I get it. People are going to argue. But I don't love him when he's on the move at this point. But that said, it's hard to judge him fully when the outside isn't solid, and it's not always solid with Anfernee Simons there. One of the things you really hope for is that Scoot Henderson and Shaedon Sharpe develop into really good defensive players, because that's going to make the front court look better. Brook Lopez did not look better this year. Malik Beasley, I mean, maybe. I love his shooting. I love his efficiency. Felt like he might have been overused a little bit. Pat Connaughton was not Pat Connaughton. And now you're going down the list. I mean, who do they have? Andre Jackson is actually an interesting player. I don't know. I halfway like him. So I think he gets an asterisk and, a little bit of interest. But look, I mean, Cam Payne, I don't know what to do with him, really. Jay Crowder was not looking himself either. In other words, you got a lot of those veterans. Their young guys seem okay, but they don't have enough of them. And Milwaukee's veterans are not what they were 3 years ago, and they're not what they were with a more solid starting lineup around them, especially defensively. So maybe you look for some help there to restart them. But do you have to inherently mess with the Giannis-Dame duo? I don't think so. I think it was rough a little bit, but I think they do get a second chance, and I think if you build around them a little bit more, that maybe they go further. I'm not sure that they're a championship team, that you could say that for sure. You never know with Giannis, though. But I think that probably they are a better team than they showed, and they certainly might not bow out in the first round against Indiana, especially, obviously, as we said at the start, if Giannis is healthy. So, that's the Damian Lillard episode. I think that it didn't change anything, what happened here. I'll still cheer for Dame. I think you will, too. I will still celebrate when his number is retired. When he goes into the Hall of Fame, I hope it will be in a Portland Trailblazers uniform. I think that is most fitting. I don't think anything he does in Milwaukee is going to change any of that. But I don't think anything he does in Milwaukee will dim his legacy either, especially not his legacy in Portland. All right. Well, that's our show for this week. We will be back in a week or two. We are approaching the NBA draft. We'll try to talk about that a little bit and whether there is anybody, period, who is worth drafting in this draft, and also where the Trailblazers build from here, trading or you know, using those picks, if there's anybody on the roster with value, who they might get. We'll get into all that as the offseason rolls around. For now, thanks for listening, and enjoy the early part of your summer, and we will see you again soon.